This is Dan Hansis with the rest of the Around the NFL team. On our latest show, we broke down all of the weekend action in week two of the preseason and then part one of our fantasy extravaganza. Mark Sessler, I know you're excited.
Oh, couldn't be more excited about it.
Check it out.
Going to the hurry-up offense.
Hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, presented as always by McDonald's. Go get you some of those delicious chicken McNuggets, 100% all white meat, no preservatives, no artificial colors, so on and so forth. I've had them, delicious,
for
kids
breakfast.
Like them, sometimes for breakfast, so what? Ike Taylor here in Studio 66, along with the long,
didn't I win the Shecky Award?
You did win a Shecky Award. Bucky Brooks is here, a star by his own right these days on NFL Media. Let's jump into it. We'll say our hi and hellos properly in a minute. Real quick, we're going to be talking about the AFC West and the AFC South to complete our preview of the AFC. Meantime, Dak Prescott, Ike Taylor sat in this very spot about 8 months ago and foretold of Dak Prescott two games into the preseason. He looks awfully good. What do you say now about Dak Prescott, Ike?
I'm going to keep saying the same thing. Like, he's just a natural born leader. He's a guy who's poised. He's a guy that understands what people fail to forget is, man, Dak got the same kind of offense he ran at Mississippi State. It's just different terminology. But what you got to like about that is he understands matchups. So, yeah, you might got a run play call, but him looking to the left and seeing Dez Bryant on the team's number two receiver, I like that matchup better than what this run play is called. So I'm going to go holler at Dez. I'm going to tap this helmet. Dez going to hit his hip, and we're going to have a one-on-one going on. And I like that matchup. What you got to understand as a rookie, man, that's a veteran move. Usually veterans go through that with their veteran receivers. But – that understands football, understands matchups, and yeah, he's willing to take risky chances, but chances that's going to help the team out. You got to like, as a rookie quarterback, when he runs, he slides. Because if we just look at the RG3s who ran, tried to get the extra yards, got hurt. If you look at the Andrew Lux in the past who ran, tried to get the one or two extra yards, got hurt. Now all of a sudden you see Andrew Luck sliding.
Oh, I can't wait to dig in on the
so
when we get
so
into
when
the
you
South.
when you see a rookie with veteran attributes, you gotta respect what he's doing. It's not a fluke. It's for real.
All right. I'm a cynic. I always say the preseason is a month-long lie for your eyes. Bucky Brooks, is what Dak Prescott's done so far a mirage, or can this thing keep up here?
He's a preseason Hall of Famer.
Is that
like
right?
If they were giving out gold jackets for how people play in the preseason? He's a Hall of Famer.
So the Rams fans shouldn't be concerned that they should have taken Dak Prescott over Jared Goff.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. Where you get taken is only pole positioning. But now that we're playing 11 on 11 with real bodies, your eyes don't deceive you. What Dak Prescott has done is legitimate. And I'm mad at myself because in my archive, I had two articles that I wrote about Dak Prescott when he was playing. His junior year when he played against LSU, I said he had all the championship attributes that you look for at the position. Toughness, awareness, intelligence, natural leadership ability, then the arm talent. I came back last year and doubled down. I said he reminded me of a young Steve McNair in terms of being a rugged playmaker who was tough. It's not always going to be pretty, but at the end of the day, he's going to get your team to the winner's circle. And then I was a coward during the draft process.
Because of the DUI.
No, just a coward because what happens is it's a long way away from the end of the season, and I forgot the kind of impact that he had 2 years ago when he really had a team. When you look on offense, he didn't have any pros.
I know. He's surrounded
by
bums.
He didn't have any pros.
You didn't trust your tape.
Didn't trust it. Didn't trust it. I kind of fell back. Then the DUI kind of scared me because he also had another issue that a lot of people didn't know about. So I was like, does he have character? But the thing that has really helped Dak is he's fallen to the right situation. Most young quarterbacks, they fall into a situation where they don't have an offensive line. They don't have a dominant receiver on the outside. They don't have a running game that can kind of alleviate some of the pressure on them. But Dak, you drop him in Dallas, all the pieces are ready to go. It's like instant oatmeal. All you do is pour a little water, and they're ready to go. And so for Dak, he is a guy, when I look at him, I'm like, he looks like a starter. He's calm. He's poised. When I went to training camp, after practice, it was different. Jason Garrett and Dak Prescott were throwing pitch and catch like you would do with your son. And I was like, you just don't see a head coach deal with a rookie quarterback who's a fourth-round pick and spend time like that. Dak Prescott is real. I'm all aboard.
It's real. It's authentic.
All right. Hey, by the way, the guys behind the glass have a bet on how long the so-called hurry-up is going to go. It's not – I think the over-under was 7 minutes.
7 minutes, yeah.
It's not on me. Not on me. You hear these. They're verbose.
We're going to blow past that.
All right.
We're going to blow past that.
We mentioned Jared Goff, and I'm hearing on local Los Angeles radio already. Two dumb preseason games and 20-some throws by this kid already, people. Oh, they gave away too much to get him. Maybe that is the case, but – to me, Jared Goff, this idea, that, and you always hear this, how true is it, I'll start with you, Bucky, that you do damage emotionally or mentally or otherwise to a kid by having him start too soon, that's going to derail him or whatever? To me, that's nonsense. I mean, you practice anything. It's hard to do. Yeah, it's hard to curl 25 pounds until you do it more and more, and then it gets easier. That right? Shouldn't Jared Goff just be the starter?
That fire is real. And if you expose him to it too soon, he may never come back. Because everyone's not built to play in that league. And with quarterbacks, sometimes we treat them with kid gloves because we know they may not be the strongest mentally to deal with what they're about to have to face. And so when you look at Jared Goff, and you look in his eyes and you see how he's responded to situations in those preseason games, you need to keep him on the sideline for a little bit because he's not ready. I'm more, not necessarily concerned, but I'm more in the camp with Jeff Fisher. Hey, take your time developing him. And even though everyone would talk about how much they gave up, remember, it's a long-term investment. It's not about what he does this year. It's about what he does in 3, 4, 5, 6 years, maybe a decade. And so he has done it before. Jeff Fisher waited 2 years before he put Steve McNair on the field. He may have to take a similar track with Jared Goff to make sure he's ready to handle and have success.
I mean, the real question there is, does – Jeff Fisher have that kind of time to wait out this kid turning the corner?
If Coach Jeff Fisher listens to the elevated music, which is us, the media, take your time on progressions with Jared Goff, meaning don't give him the whole playbook. Simmer it down a little bit. If you're feeling that kind of pressure, to play him because he is the first overall pick in the 2016 draft, don't get a man the whole playbook. Do what Coach Shula did with Cam when Calvin Benjamin got hurt. He simmered down the offense. He went back to Auburn. Yeah, this is the NFL, but this is the strength to my quarterback. This is how I can help my quarterback help this team. Do the same thing with Jared Goff. Simmer down the offense. Running game going to be loaded. Like, we're going to run the ball 30 to 35 times. It's going to be boring as hell. Hopefully, my defense can come up with a few turnovers to stop a few people. Hopefully, special teams can help my offense. But I'm going to simmer it down, and I'm going to make them throw 15 to 25 times a game, if that. And he's going to progress week by week. But if I give him the whole playbook and put everything on his shoulders, like Bucky said, man, mentally it's going to collapse.
I don't know. Up in San Francisco, his hometown, I don't know week one he should
I agree.
I think that I'd be nervous if I were the coach.
But
week
agree with
two,
playing him.
Jared Goff would be my starter.
See, not against Seattle.
I agree playing him. I want him to play, but don't give him that large playbook.
Last thing before we jump into the show proper and our AFC West and South previews. I don't know if you saw it. In the last days of the Olympics, now over down in Rio, two Mongolian wrestling coaches, in protest of something or other, took off all their clothes but their underpants to protest it.
Dedication.
Ike, what's the closest thing you've seen to that?
Dedication.
Did Coach Cower ever do that?
I like not dog.
Throw his pants at the ref. That's a terrible call.
You know what? He believed in his player and what he thought at the time, and he was all in.
That doesn't mean he has to go down to his underpants.
Yeah, yes,
though.
I'm all in. And I'll put some respect on his name. I like what he did for his player.
Bucky, how say you on this? Is this a trend that we should see from football coaches now?
I think if you're really about your players, if you're really that player's coach and you want to let them know, then sometimes you have to take drastic measures to let you know I'm in the foxhole with you. So if it requires you to get down to your jockeys, then you got to get down to your jockeys and let them know. I'll jump in here just like y'all.
Yep.
I'm right with you.
That is commitment. All right, start the show!
David. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Yeah, hi and hello once again, and welcome to the DDFP presented by McDonald's. Again, we are joined by one of the two hosts of Move the Sticks, the great podcast, twice weekly in season. It's Bucky Brooks. You can also watch him on Total Access and elsewhere. What's the poop with you, Buck?
Man, I am chilling.
I know. Yeah. In fact, to pull the curtain back, Bucky, we started a couple minutes late. Bucky walked in all sweaty. What were you doing, Bucky? I was running around the block. Why, Buck?
Got to stay in shape because Ike could get on me.
Ike calls you chubby.
He will. No. He got at me at the combine. And after that, I was like, okay, I can't be that guy. I can't be the chubby guy. I got to be take my shirt off.
Which is
because
me.
If Ike needs me to take my shirt off to make sure he knows I'm all in,
he's all in.
I'm all in.
He's all
if
in.
I need to jump in there, I'll jump in.
I'll do that. You know, I should do that too because that would have a real impact on the officials because they'd get sick. They'd get so sick that then I would just write the rules.
If you get fit, I wouldn't have nobody to talk to or talk about. So stay the way you are.
I'm doing this for you, Ike. That's right. Speaking of Ike, here he is, everybody. Every Tuesday in season, he and Maurice Jones-Drew will be here in Studio 60.
Where's MJD? Where's he at today?
Who knows?
He rams in.
He's another.
You know, sooner or later, he about to be that.
Prima donna.
He about to be that John Gruden. I give him about 4 more years, he going to take off.
Ike, by the way, you should pay attention because Ike, about a year ago, laid out some under-the-radar guys, not obvious guys. I don't know how to exactly categorize them, but you gave about 8 or 10 names, and these guys just about all hit in 2015. I want your 2016 list. The guys that we need to look out for, Dak Prescott was one of the guys you foretold of his success. In the meantime, let's say hello to him properly with his intro music.
Y'all crazy.
Born in Gretna, that's in New Orleans. Walked out in college after 2 p.m. Number 24 has got opinions for days. I-K-E-T-A-Y-L-O-R.
Hi, Taylor. What's the poop there, 2-4?
Man, I can't call it, but don't call me collect.
I don't even know what that means. Hey, let me tell you. Sad news around here in Studio 66 and beyond. This is a sad announcement. Black Tie, our longtime producer.
Hey, we got the Jefferson music thing moving on up.
That's right.
He's moving on up. He's got a 10-day contract.
He's leaving us. Black Tie is leaving us at the end of this week. We'll talk a little bit more with him at the end of the show today. Black Tie, though, what gives? Who do you blame? Who do you blame for leaving?
Who's most to blame? Adam Rank.
Because
he kept trying to get me fired. He started a campaign, Fire Black Tie, years ago.
That's true, he did. It became
a social media movement. And
you know what?
You know,
the NFL is staying for not for long.
That's right. Well, Black Tie's face is not for long around here.
Black Tie moving on up.
Well, Emma VP and the rest of the gang back there will have to try and fill in.
You know, they call Black Tie. Black Tie ain't call them. They call him.
That's true. All right, we'll get more into all that. Before now we jump in on the other half of the AFC, you can go back and listen to what I thought was a banner preview of the AFC East and the North. If you missed that, we had the Patriots winning that division at 13-3. We had the AFC North won by the Pittsburgh Steelers at 12-4. Is that right, Emma VP? And the or was it 11-5? I want to get that right. And the Bengals sneak in with a wild card at 9-7. There, a little bit of drop off without Hugh, but we're going to jump in on the West and the South here real quick though. Bucky, you love college football. Ike, you love college football. I love the polls. You know why I love them? Because they distinguish college football from every other sport. Why does every sport have to have the same playoff system, the same approach, the same? It's nice that what college football has constructed. Before my lifetime began, every week matters. The first week in September counts. And if you lose a game, you lose control of your destiny. I like all that stuff. And the 4-team playoff doesn't take that away. If it goes to 8, it might get a little bit different. However, the one thing I don't like, preseason polls. Of course, the human condition is that if you say team A is going to be the number one team, you're going to be incented to keep them up there to be right. And those same people that are giving you the preseason poll are the same people that vote on it throughout. Shouldn't we get rid of the preseason polls?
No, you got to rock with the preseason.
No, why? Why? So how do we know who's good?
I'm about to tell you because it got us people like this talking about it.
That's true. Good point.
And we sitting here talking about a preseason poll for college football. So you might as well keep it going. Keep it in.
That's a great point.
keep it very interesting, man. You know, college football is very exciting.
Like, I love it.
I love the NFL, but I also love college football. Just watching the young kids, working out with a lot of the young kids, seeing them grow, seeing them mature, seeing kids who I think that can come to the NFL and be stars or at least make it to the NFL, finding hitting gems. This is what Bucky do all the time as far as like being a scout. It's just
not
it's
Dak the, Prescott.
It's the process. It's the process, man. There's nothing better atmosphere-wise than college football.
I agree with that. Buck, do you regret, by the way, do you think Dak – say right now, here's your mulligan right here and now for all the time. If you had it to do over again, would you take Dak Prescott or Jared Goff?
No, I still would take Jared Goff over
How
Dak
about
Prescott.
Carson Wentz?
Oh, I still would take Carson Wentz.
You would take a before Dak.
I think the big thing that I would say is I would stand firmer on Dak Prescott being a guy that would grade probably in the second round range. Mm-hmm. I've had multiple scouts, and I know some of those scouts that I'm tight with. Those guys swore by Dak Prescott, and so sometimes I need to listen to the barbershop a little more.
Well, it's one of the reasons why I'm intrigued, at least, by the Miami Dolphins, because Laremy Tunsil fell on draft day. I mean, Ike and I were standing next to each other, and literally, while all that's going on, we're watching Twitter, and Ike's talking to the guys as they walk in with their moms and everything into the draft, and that knocked that kid down. Well, now they got a real value there, and that's going to solidify the offensive line. That's one of the worst things that Tannehill's had going against him now.
Yeah, he still went top 15.
He did, but I mean, you know, he could have been the third overall pick had all that not happened.
That was a projection, you know. That was a projection. Miami felt like him at 11, he was the best player available. We're gonna go ahead and pick him up, and they picked up a grown man.
I know, like, that offensive line should be a strength, and it's been a weakness.
You still gotta understand. It's still they're still learning together.
Well, Brandon Albert, you have Mike Pouncey. Now you throw but Pouncey, one of the guards.
Pouncey been in and out. And, you know, Pouncey really can play anywhere on that line, except for, I think, the tackle position. He can play center guards, either way it go. And they've been using him like that. So just solidify Pouncey as your center from here on out. Even if somebody get hurt, you got to make somebody else step up and play the guard or the tackle. Tunsil, you don't know if his schemes, you don't know their blocking techniques, protection wise. You might got to simmer down protection, not only for Tunsil, just for the team in general. So it's a lot to do than just say, you know, their offensive line isn't pretty good. It has more than that, and Bucky will probably agree. Just as well as you simmer down for a quarterback, you got to make protection easy because he's protecting the quarterback. So we don't need to have big words for protection for the offensive line. Go ahead and simmer that down so them guys can play ball.
All right, let's jump into it now. Maybe we'll have some, I want to go back and talk a little of Deion Lewis, the impact there. I mean, it's negligible because it's the Patriots, and they always cycle in any running back. That's not even secondary. That's tertiary to what
different.
That offense is about. It's all. I mean, Gronk and Martellus Bennett. All right, I'm sorry. I know we got to do the previews, but real quick, fellas. Because you two X and O it as well as anybody. Real quick, this is what haunts me, and this is why I say 14-2 or 15-1 aren't unreasonable even for the Patriots in good health. I think this is a dominant year for the Patriots.
In good health?
Any team needs good health. But, I mean, obviously, specifically, there are already some injuries jumping up inordinately, it seems, in Foxborough right now. But either way, I just can't conceive of what is any defense going to be able to do to stop their two tight end sets, right?
It's a problem.
I mean, it's going to be impossible to cover.
It's a problem. And it's even a greater problem than they presented defenses when they had Aaron Hernandez in the backfield, because Aaron Hernandez was a true H-back. What you have now, you have two real tight ends, two guys that can put their hand in the dirt and block. So they can line up if you want to play light and put nickel in. They can line up in 12 personnel, which is one back, two tight ends. They can put those guys in an ace formation with both tight ends on each side attached to the offensive tackle, and they can run it down your throat. They also can put those guys on the same side, hip to hip, and make it problematic when they run the ball to their side. But they also can pass out of that formation. And then if you decide you can put all the big guys on the field, they can spread you out. This offense is going to be one that really makes it hard for every defensive coordinator to come up with a game plan to slow them down. And as long as they keep Martellus Bennett and Rob Gronkowski healthy, I don't know how you're going to slow them down.
I mean, it's upsetting. And in a relatively soft AFC, to me, Pittsburgh is the clear-cut number two there. Maybe you make a case for the Bengals, and we'll get in on the Texans here in a second. Maybe some of them.
So you're just going to disrespect the Broncos like that, huh?
Well, we're gonna. I'll tell you how I'm gonna disrespect them like that. Ike, I mean, really, there's no stopping what the Patriots are looking to do in good health.
I think Bucky said it best: personnel matchup problems.
Yeah.
So now, as a defensive coordinator, you got to look at: do I leave the outside linebacker in, put my nickel in? Do I bring an extra safety and leave my linebacker out? Do I chip the tight end, or which tight end would I chip? To slow him down so he won't get so vertical up the field. Is it Gronk? Is it Bennett? Then again, these boys can put their hand in the dirt and block. Usually tight ends, really good receiving tight ends, they receive well. They hate to block. These two guys and Gronk and Bennett, they don't mind getting dirty at all. You can just tell that in the playoffs. First person to fight was Gronk. And if you look at his background, he got a lot of brothers. So all you know what they did was fight when the kitchen got hot. So going back to football, man, you got to understand, man, Bill Belichick is a genius when it comes down to this. Mentally, because as a personnel, you don't know who to put out on the field when you have two solid stud tight ends. Gronk is Gronk. Ain't nobody like Gronk. Bennett, if he's healthy and can play 16, Houston, we have a problem.
If they had a burner – who then you run some play action with both those tight ends in there.
I don't even know if they need a burner.
No, you don't need a burner.
I'm telling you, they're unstoppable.
They're going to control it. And also, as the league is shifting, everyone talks about, oh, we throw it around the yard. The league is turning back to being physical. Because what happens is what we're seeing is the most physical team is always winning. I think Coach Tomlin always talks about, look, it comes down to the team that out-hits the other team is the one that wins. Well, New England is now creating formations offensively where they can run it, and they're going to line up, they can put someone in the dot, and they're going to hammer you. And they're going to dare you to stand the test of time. And then when you get tired of hitting you with jabs and all that, they're going to open it up, and then Tom Brady's going to do what he does. And so as you have an older Tom Brady, you need to take more of the load off his shoulders. By adding the two tight ends, they made it where they can lighten the load on him and make them even more.
What if Garoppolo beats Arizona? It's over if they beat Arizona.
Listen, basketball on grass. So the red zone is the dead zone, just about. We saw in three possessions, three plays, what Rob Gronkowski did to Denver. Three plays, straight to him. And you know what he was throwing the ball to. You know, time in the heat of the battle, he going to check, oh, four people on ground, ham. Check, two people on ground, ham. You know what? We need a touchdown. Hey, what's the personnel going? I don't know the personnel. How many people on ground? Three. Throw the grunt, touchdown. So you can draw it up. You can say you have a game plan till you actually get in the game. See, this is what you got to get. These defensive coordinators ain't playing. These guys are playing out there. So you got to have a guy who have a strong mental mindset to be able to understand. He's going to get me, but he's not going to get me this time. Because Gronk is going to get Gronk. Now you have Bennett, on the other hand, who's a lesser version of Gronk, but who's very athletic. Very athletic. You got two centers playing football, basketball on grass, and everybody else from a perimeter stand base are point guards.
I'm already getting upset.
That's a mismatch all day.
Spoiler alert, the Patriots are going to be the best team in the AFC again, and it's a bummer to me because I would like to, new blood, if nothing else. But the other thing is, too, real fast, that front seven is loaded in my book. People said, oh, you're exaggerating. I mean, I think Jabal Sheard, and then you have Chris Long behind him, and Malcolm Brown, and you have Hightower, and Jamie Collins, they're two of the best around. I mean, aren't they loaded? I mean, their defense should be very good, too.
Defense is, but their defense coordinator isn't getting the props he needs to get. What's his name? What's that young man's name? Their defensive coordinator.
Matt Patricia?
Beardy. Yep.
Beardy. Patricia.
Hey, this guy can put up a game plan because he's done a lot with less with good stats. So now I think he got the personnel he wants far as like as a pass rusher, sometimes stopping a run, and he's been a heck of a DC.
All right, let's jump in on the West now. Bucky is looking at his watch. It hurts my feelings when he does that.
Hey, he got to go make that money.
All right. Here are my thoughts on the AFC. I go bottom to top, I'm sorry about this. I have the Denver Broncos coming in at 7-9.
It's just so disrespectful.
It's not what disrespectful.
7-9?
That word doesn't make any disrespect. Okay. Yeah, it's disrespectful.
I just kind of need you to justify or validate.
I will. Chargers at 8-8, Raiders at 9-7, and the Chiefs win the division at 9-7. There's not a lot of difference between top and bottom in my book here in this division this year. Andy Reid, part of my thinking is for giving it to the Chiefs is, in broad strokes, Andy Reid is one of those guys, he's the opposite of Mike Mularkey. Everybody's very excited about exotic smash mouth in Nashville this year. Mm-hmm. Except Mike Mularkey is not a winner in the NFL as a head coach. That's just the fact. I mean, he can change that trend this year, but we'll see.
Is Jeff
Andy
Reid,
well, no, we've seen what he's been for the majority of his career. And Andy Reid gets to the playoffs almost every year with whatever the situation is, from Philly, now in KC. I like their pieces there. I have a couple of concerns. Obviously, pass rush is what, or lack thereof, when they've been so dominant in that regard in the last few years.
In KC.
But Jamaal Charles, to me, you might make a case for Tony Romo. Jamaal Charles, to me, is the most underrated player of the generation. Do you know, by the way, he has a better yards per carry over the course of his career than even Jim Brown? 5.5 yards per carry.
No, he's that guy. But what you got to understand,
Acklin and Kelsey.
No, we ain't even talking about them three. You need to talk about them two other running backs.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what
they did just fine with Jamaal Charles went down last.
That's the problem. Spencer Ware, Tre'Kendrick West.
That's the two other guys we need to talk about. Them guys – Kelsey, Jamaal Charles, the receiver, they're going to get theirs.
Wilson.
Macklin going to get his. It's them two other guys that carried the load last year. And, yeah, you might not have the defensive side, but for your defense, you got a running game.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can get these three and outs way more easier because we controlling the clock with this running game. So now teams, when they get the ball, they so much in a hurry to score. Because we've been sitting on the sideline for 4 minutes. Even though the Kansas City Chiefs might be scoring 3 points, sometimes seven, it's time of possession. So offensive coordinators look at that. Dang, they done had the ball for 4 minutes and 37 seconds. Golly, man, I got to score like right now to get the ball back. You know what? It's not going to work in your favor.
We talked about that 1 week ago, Ike, and that remains true, and Bucky touched on it too. The league is now moving back to, and you could see that that was the way it was going to go, that it is getting more physical once again. Teams are leaning more, or will, I anticipate, and I think you guys agree, that
it's
they're running the ball
lead.
More and more and more and spinning that clock. That's the way, not to be relevant, but to be a real Super Bowl contender, physical, run the ball, spin the clock in the second half is what still works in the NFL.
And that's why I'm saying you're being so disrespectful to the Denver Broncos.
Listen, Dave, first of all.
Because the guy, Devontae Booker?
Utah.
Don't tell – Bucky, don't Devontae don't Booker you jump in
is a,
now.
Is a,
Me, Ike, and Maurice all were in on Devontae Booker back in September last year.
And so no matter who's playing quarterback for them, they're going to be fine.
You think he's the feature back from day
one? I think he and C.J. Anderson were split it, but he's more talented than C.J. Anderson. At some point, they're going to have to realize, hey, we need to let Devontae Booker be the guy. And that may not happen until the final month of the season. But at some point, he's going to kind of emerge as the guy that is the focal point of that offense. And then if they can just get the quarterback, not to give it to the other team, they're going to be – because that defense –
also get the first place scheduled. I mean,
you got to look at it like this here, Shaq. Like, Devontae Booker walked in and said himself, I'm not here to carry pass. I'm here to take somebody's job.
He did say that? I like that.
Oh, he did.
Point blank, period. So, for me as a player, like, oh, yeah, his mind right. Because, one, you already paid CJ. Two of you been paying attention to the Denver Broncos preseason games. CJ Anderson looked slim. He looked good.
He's
been running. He hasn't been thinking twice. He been hitting the holes. He ain't playing no games. Why? Because you got a young one who don't care how long you've been in the league, how much money you got. He figured he have an opportunity to take your spot. So now competition, as Bucky say, is at its finest. And what competition do? It either makes you or break you.
I hear you on all that. But the thing the point I've made a million times, and I'll make it for the million and first now before the season, is the Broncos defense, an all-time, I mean, in Super Bowl era at least, in terms of dominance for 1 year, that 2015 Broncos, as we get away from it, the more I think we're going to realize how terrific it was. But specifically what they did over the course of the season was they kept making scores. I mean, they didn't just dominate. They were actually putting six on the board. They weren't even leaving it at the 10-yard line, punch it in, Peyton or Brock. No, they were actually scoring touchdowns. That can't continue.
I don't think
that doesn't continue.
Yeah, I do. They revamped, they reload the whole D-line. They drafted 2 years before for this. So they was drafting for the free agency to come. They just so happened to win the Super Bowl.
Here's what happens, though. Everybody, when you make picks like this, I just gave you the records. You might be uninspired by 9-7 or 7-9. You know, nobody likes to hear in the preseason, oh, I think your team's going 5-11 or whatever. But there is ultimately a balance. When you add up all the wins in the NFL and all the losses of the 32 teams, you have the same number on both sides of it. So part of the reason the Broncos fall back a little bit is because their competition in the West has gotten better. Do we disagree that the Raiders are going to be a better team than they've been as they've risen up? This is a team that can win the division, Buck.
They are. They can win the division. However, it's tough. See, because it's different being the underdog and everyone is coming in and everyone is like, oh, look at the Raiders. They're a nice story. But now the expectations are that they're going to come in and do it. And now, look, I'm a Raider. I've been to the black hole. I know what it's like. That defense is full of goons, and that's what you have to have. When you look at the front line, Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin and Mario Edwards Jr., those guys can get it done. In the back end, I have some concerns about DJ Hayden. But look, Sean Smith can play. Reggie Nelson can play. I like the kid they brought in, Carl Joseph. The difference is now that you're the Raiders and you're on the map, you can get everybody's best game. You're not going to sneak up on anybody. And so they have to take their game up a notch to be able to compete and to win against some of these teams. And I just don't know if the Denver Broncos are going to say, hey, here, take my AFC West crown.
I hear you, but they do practically, and I, as always, don't assess offensive line play. I trust people who study it for a living. But it would seem to me that this is a good physical offensive line now.
There, I don't think I don't like about the Raiders. I don't like their running back. If they had a real dude, like a hog back there.
What do you think
there,
about DeAndre Washington?
I mean, he's nice. He's a rookie. I don't know what he's going to give him. He's small. He's kind of squirrely. I don't know what he's going to be like when they start putting pads on him.
I like Phil Rivers' chances, too. I think that that team is also better. That's another reason that the Broncos fall back a little bit.
So you think the Chargers, Raiders, and Chiefs are all better, just looking at paper, than the Denver
Broncos?
It's
a two-game difference from first to worst. That's my
better
point. And, by the way, every year
better.
Every year, if you laugh at 9-7 wins the division, if you look at current NFL, every year somebody wins a division with a bad record.
I'm just saying the Broncos, 7-9.
They're your division pick?
I would go with them over the other teams.
Well, that's what I'm asking. I'm not asking you if you would. I'm asking you what you are doing, Buck. You're taking the Chiefs,
I'm taking the
Chargers, you're taking the Broncos.
Taking the Broncos.
I had the Raiders.
With Trevor Siemian. Paxton Lynch is going to be the guy.
Trevor Siemian is that. But look, last year they had the 31st ranked pass offense, like quarterback play. They won in spite of the quarterback. The quarterback is a non-factor for the Broncos. As long as he doesn't give it to the other team, they're going to win games.
Listen, my retort to that is what I said 5 minutes ago.
What's that?
You can't rely on the defense to win you games by putting points on the board.
Why can't you?
Because there's no historical equivalent to a team that just keeps like week after week. Oh wow, Aqib Talib picked it off in the fourth quarter and ran it into
defense.
The end. That doesn't happen.
Ike was in Pittsburgh. Dick LeBeau. I think y'all were the number one or two defense like 8 or 9 out of 10 years or something like that, and always went to the playoffs. The defense always gets you there. Now, can the defense take you and help you win the championship? No, but they certainly can get you into the tournament. And so when you look at the Broncos defense, you can already write them into the tournament because the defense is good enough. It's just a matter if the quarterback doesn't mess it up because all the pieces are in place. If the dude just is like a bus driver, they're going to win 10 or 11 games. Simple as that. He doesn't have to be special. He doesn't have to be remarkable. All he has to do is, hey, Demaryius Thomas, I'm going to throw you the ball. Emmanuel Sanders,
how many games would the Denver Broncos a 2016 win if Dave Dameshek was their quarterback, Ike?
Man. They'll win 9 with you.
You think so?
If they just call all running plays.
No. I'll throw it.
I think he'll just get nervous and start fumbling the ball.
No. That would.
But you know they can go Wildcat. They can move Sheck.
It's another surprise game show here on the Dave Dameshek football program. And today's surprise game show deals with defensive backs, considering both Bucky Brooks and Ike Taylor were defensive backs. In fact, Ike, the number 24 is in this. because there have been 24 Hall of Fame defensive backs in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Name them.
Really? There are only 24 DBs in the Hall of Fame?
Only 24.
Okay. All right, I know a few of them. All right, Buck, you start us off.
Willie Brown, Raiders.
Very nice. Ike.
Rod Woodson.
Very nice. I'll go with Mel Blunt.
Wow, that was easy. Way to go out on a limb.
What do you want me to do?
Emmett Thomas.
Deacon Jones.
No.
Is that DB?
D-lineman.
Oh, no, no.
On to you, Shaq.
I mean, hey, I'm out.
Yes.
You want to give him a mulligan? I'm in a generous mood.
I meant Dickie.
Sure.
Dick LeBeau.
That's a good one. Deion Sanders.
That's the easy way to stay modern. Night Train Lane.
That's who I have written down. Dang.
That music, like, I mean,
that's right.
Man, 10 seconds, Ike. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We need a guess.
I blanked out, girl.
Paul Kraus.
That's a nice one. That's what I was thinking about. Tom Landry.
Does that count?
Yeah. He played defensive back for the Giants.
He's not listed on the website as a defensive back.
All right, fine. Give it to Bucky.
We'll give it to him.
He's a baby out of his bottle.
He's in there. He is in there. You're running out of names because you're looking
at
him.
No, I'm not at all.
Running out of names.
I'm not running.
You're all out.
Nope.
You're fresh out. You're fresh out. Who you going to say, Shaq? Who you going to say, Shaq? Who?
Say Haynes.
Who?
Haynes.
What?
Who's Haynes?
I don't know who Haynes is.
First
Haynes?
Name?
Who's Haynes? Oh, okay. I just want you to say the whole name.
I
don't need a clock. Daryl Green. Daryl Green. I don't need a clock.
Daryl Green.
That was a good one.
All right, now I'm in a little bit of trouble. Ken Riley is not in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, I'm not worried
about him. I just
wanted
you to know that he's not in the Hall of Fame.
I'm worried about him. He's not.
Well, because if you said him, that would be embarrassing. All right. You know who is in the Hall of Fame, though? I'll tell you, and I'm going to tell it to you right now. The guy who's in the Hall of Fame that you forgot to mention, Bucky.
Quit filibustering.
I want.
Look how he pondered.
I think this is good for
10 seconds.
I think this is a good thrill for Buck to find out about some of these.
Five, four, three.
It is
two,
one.
Wait! I got it. Here we go. Here we go.
Hit the button.
No, it is.
Hit the button.
Now. 3 seconds.
Why can't I think of his name? The Cardinals, a long time.
Aneas Bennett. Aneas Williams.
It goes to Bucky.
Aneas Williams. Dang. Bucky's got to get. No, no, no. Bucky wins. Yes.
Bucky needs one for the win.
Oh. How about Herb Adderley?
Herb Adderley.
Yeah.
Willie Dave. I mean, I didn't think of old man Willie Brown.
He was already taken.
I already said
he was.
Here's a few others. Lem Barney.
Yep.
Jack Butler. Jack Christensen. Ken Houston. Jimmy Johnson,
Ken Houston.
Yale Larry, Ronnie Lott, Mel Renfro, Emlyn Tuttle.
I had Mel Renfro ready.
Roger Wehrli, Larry Wilson.
Oh, that's who I was thinking about.
And Roger. Willie Wood. And Aneas Williams, who you didn't get.
Oh, how did I not get? I froze, Ike. I got I succumbed to
so
the
So how you
going to
play quarterback?
I froze.
Ike, so I have the Chiefs as the only AFC West team getting in there. Do you agree with Bucky about the Broncos?
I had the Raiders.
You have the Raiders as well?
Yeah, I had the Raiders.
And they're the only playoff team from the West?
No, I had the Raiders and I had the Broncos.
Okay, so the Broncos get a wild card. Let's move on to the South. And, Ike, I was intrigued by what you said just before we got going here because the team that I'm very high on is the same one I was high on in 2015, working bottom to top, the Tennessee Titans. Again, I know there's a lot of enthusiasm, but somebody has to finish last, and it is them at 6-10. I have the Jags and the Colts at 8-8. Jags a year away, I feel like. And the Texans get it done at 10-6 with Brock Osweiler. Bucky, you have concerns about the QB spot, eh?
I do have concerns about the QB spot, but I still think the Texans are the front runner of the division because of the defense. However, I'm worried about Brock Osweiler because I told you, since high school, he's only had 21 career starts, 15 at Arizona State, then he moved on to the league, 7 last year with the Denver Broncos. I do not believe he's necessarily a guy, and I think what happens is when you pay him a big contract like that, sometimes you spend half of the season trying to justify that he's a franchise quarterback. They will win games.
As the Ravens, that's often the example you cite that the organization says, we have to show Flacco as a franchise QB, and then he reveals that he can't do it.
He can't do it. Then you go back and find a way to win games. And I think for the Houston Texans, they'll go through that first month of the season, maybe the first month and a half, where they're like, hey, Brock Osweiler's really a guy. And then they'll realize, hey, look, Brock, you just need to make sure you don't turn it over. The big thing, the thing that I'm excited about with the Houston Texans, a lot of people have called this guy a bust, Jadeveon Clowney. So, but if you've been looking at the preseason, he is an absolute stud. And he's going to have an opportunity to validate why he was the number one pick in the draft a couple years ago. J.J. Watt is out. There are people that have concerns about whether the Texans defense can get it done. Jadeveon Clowney is going to show everybody that he's a real dude. And when J.J. comes back,
it's going to be around.
They've got him at all three levels, too, on the Texans. That defense is for real, and you saw that in the second half of 2015. Even if J.J. Watt is a little slow coming out of the gate, any real concern, though, long-term? Back issue is no
I mean, job. It's always a concern when your guy is hurt, but I mean, you're talking about a three-time defensive player of the year, a guy that traditionally gets you high teens in sack numbers. He's going to be a problem because – If Jadeveon Clowney is able to establish himself early in the season, now you start to have issues on who are we going to single up? Who are we going to double team? Who are we going to slide the protection to? And if both of those guys have the freedom to move around and line up over Waldo, the weak link on the offensive line, could be a party at the quarterback.
I think this is the third. I said the same thing in 2015, but this is, to me, the third or at worst fourth best team in the whole AFC.
That microfracture injury that Jadeveon Clowney had is a 2-year injury. So to fully recover, it takes 2 years to recover. Now you've been paying attention to the man full health in his second season recovering from this injury. You see why he was a top pick. Like, he's been dominating. He's been bull rushing tackles. He's been going by tackles on the first move. He's been up and under tackles. Like, can't nobody block him right now. And we haven't even mentioned the hurt J.J. Watt, who is a former Defensive League MVP. What he does, what Bucky said with the stats, how disruptive he is. But people fail to forget J.J. Watt, man, is a turnover machine. Mm-hmm. Not only can he sack, he don't mind covering. He don't mind reading the quarterback. He don't mind getting sacks, forced fumbles. He don't mind going to the touchdown end zone and doing the Dougie. He don't mind doing a lot of things. So when you have a J.J. Watt, and you're like, dang, where's Jadeveon Clowney? Now he comes into the factor. It's a totally different story. Last year without Clowney, they were still top five. This year with Clowney, I still think they're going to be top five. I just think they're going to have more turnovers.
Well, and look at the other side of things, too. To me, Brock Osweiler would have to be a real abject bum of a quarterback. I mean, maybe that's what you think he is, Buck.
No, I don't think he's that.
But he's going to have to be really real bad when you consider that he has DeAndre Hopkins. And a lot of good talk about Jalen Strong, and people are excited about Will Fuller.
Braxton Miller.
How bad would you have to be as a quarterback not to thrive with those guys around you?
You can be bad, but I think for Brock's sake, not to justify how much you paid him, you got to do what you're going to do with Jared Goff. You got to simmer it down. Because the wins look better than –
as long as he wins games, it'll be
the wins look way better on the resume than 300 yards, 5 touchdowns, 3 picks with a loss. Looks way better. So I think Houston, if they can simmer down, even though you paid them a lot of money, you got a solid defense. If you can simmer down the playbook for Brock, because he's still young as a quarterback, you give yourself a chance.
We always talk about chip.
Gotta go.
Oh,
and I'm going to leave you with this. I got a pre-tape at 2:45.
All right.
You know, I'm going to leave you with this. In that division, the team that you have to watch for, I know you're worried about the Jacksonville Jaguars and their offensive heavy.
Jaguars.
Them young dudes they brought in. I don't know if you got a chance to see Jalen Ramsey in his debut. He is everything that we've talked about.
Everything.
Plays on the other side of the ball. He ain't afraid to, as Ike says, FaceTime you. He has runners dead in their face, looks them right in the eyes, and gives them a little
kiss.
He does it. He's a real dude. Miles Jack is a goon. And Dante Fowler, getting him back off that knee injury, they've changed the personnel. I just don't know if Gus Bradley can keep all them animals in the cage. But if he lets them out the cage, they're going to be able to do it.
I think the defense is the strength of the team now all of a sudden. You know, because the Blake Bortles, to me, we still have to
– Yeah, but you still got the Allen boys.
I hear you. All right, there goes Buck. I wanted his analysis on Brock Osweiler. Mm-hmm. I like the chip on the shoulder guy, and he clearly is that. He was raw that he got replaced by one of the 5 or 10 greatest quarterbacks of all time at the end of the season. I like that mentality.
I mean,
they didn't just give it up and be like, oh, well, it's Peyton Manning. I have to take the back seat. He was raw about it.
You got to like that as a competitor. And I feel him because he feels like I could have went in and did what he did. But at the time when he was playing San Diego, just from a coach's and a general manager standpoint, we got to make an executive decision. I'm going to go ahead on. I'd rather fail with Peyton Manning. Than fail with Brock. Because if we would have lost that San Diego game, we would have had to go to New England. And I don't think too many people want to go to New England. Let's keep it at the mile high. So I feel Brock like you feel like, man, y'all played me. Yeah, we won a Super Bowl. That Super Bowl could have been under my name as the starter to point, say, you know what? And I don't want to come and visit the president because I feel like with this team I got in Houston, sooner or later we will visit.
Yeah, I'll take him when I'm the starting quarterback of the
president.
Texas.
So I like the chip. I just think it made sense what the Denver Broncos did by letting Peyton Manning come back.
I really do. I'm intrigued by the Jags like the rest of the world, and this has nothing to do with any – there's no merit in this from a football perspective, but just if you look at the way the NFL breaks, when all the world gets excited about a team that brings in a bunch of young guys and free agents and suddenly looks loaded and they're going to turn the corner, they're always a year away. It's not that year. It's a, well, look, beware the Jags in 2017. This year they'll make strides, but I don't think they're going to get over the hump and get into the playoffs. The team that I think a lot of people are looking at, and I do think they're going to put up big numbers offensively, the Indianapolis Colts. They've got three similar wide receivers now, you know, all deep threats. That's going to play to Luck's skills.
Dante Moncrief.
That defense is another
Tom Shaw product.
Is that right?
Dante Moncrief from Ole Miss. And if you listen to Coach Belichick, he was like, I know what T.Y. can do, but they got a guy over there named Dante Moncrief. I got to keep one eye like CBS on him. I got to, because this guy on these one-on-one matchups, give him hell, Shaq. And I understand you liking the Colts.
No, but, I'm not. I don't like the Colts. But I have them at 8-8.
I think the Jacksonville Jaguars, man, and I understand you say 2017, but I can't say 2017. I'm looking at 2016, and here's why. Now you got a running game. So instead of T.J. Yeldon having all them carries, you go pick up a Chris Ivory. Mm-hmm. And you know his resume. And you see what he's been doing in the preseason. A bulldozer. Now you got a skeet skirt guy who can make anybody miss in the phone booth at a T.J. Yeldon. There you go. Then you probably a 1-2 punch. A 1-2 punch on the perimeter. The Allen boys quietly. Like a legit.
Not for fantasy players.
A legit 1-2 punch. Then you got a defense who finally, like Bucky said, man, if you can put the leash off them boys, go on and just let them rumble, they're going to rumble. So the Jacksonville Jaguars, I know you're looking at 2017, but 2016.
Well, people get very excited about coaches that come from successful organizations. And Gus Bradley has gotten a lot of talk about as he went down to Jacksonville that he's going to do down there, what he was able to do when he was the coordinator for the defense up in Seattle. That hasn't happened. If he can't turn this gang into a dominant unit, a top, say, 6 or 8 unit, then I would expect that's three years.
And this is Gus what?
This is his fourth year.
Yeah, so he is about this time. He got all the picks he wanted. He got everybody he didn't want. So I think Gus is going to turn the tables.
What about the Colts, though? I think this defense is going to be garbage. I don't think they completely fix the offensive line. Andrew Luck might play differently. I think they are going to put up a lot of points, like I say. Frank Gore, this might finally be it, though. I don't know if he's gonna be able to carry the load. They do have a couple of interesting options there. Ferguson, a lot of people are speculating, might take over the duties there. But the division that Andrew Luck is returning to is much tougher than the one he left at the start of last year.
They leaning on their offense to help their defense, meaning the way they draft and the tempo they run, their defensive line are made to sack the quarterback. So they basically looking to be up in a lot of games with their offense. Mm. I don't know if their offense can put up even with your Andrew Lux, even with your Dante's, Moncrief, even with your T.Y.'s, even with your Frank Gore's. I don't think their offense can put up points like that, because then if you're leaning on your offense, now when your defense ain't holding up, now you're going back to the old Andrew Luck. You want him to pass the ball 40 to 45 times a game. Then Andrew Luck winds up getting hurt. Then he winds up getting hit. Now he can't play 16 games. I think it's just a lot of pressure on him. Again, with the new contract, a lot of pressure on him to show why he's a franchise, even though he's a franchise guy, to put up these points. I don't think their defense can carry.
And Vontae Davis was one of their top two defenders, you would likely say, and he's now going to miss at least the first couple of games. So I expect them to not rise up like a lot of people are expecting. I get the excitement about the Titans. I am interested in the philosophy that they're trying to take, but I think they've gone a little bit too far with this exotic smash mouth. I don't like the.
I would take the Titans over the Colts right now.
Is that right? Wow.
And the reason why, because, again, you said it earlier in your show, Shaq, physicality is coming back to the NFL.
Yeah, all right. That's fair.
Time of possession for a young quarterback is on his side. So now you got a DeMarco Murray, who is a rhino, and then you got a Derrick Henry, who is another rhino. So there is no lightning and thunder. No, I got thunder and thunder. So now I got time of possession. I know everybody's going to be excited.
I'm still not all the way there on Derrick Henry like everybody else is.
Hey, Derrick Henry is the – he's another Tom Sharp product. Derrick Henry is the – why wouldn't you? To play in –
because of exactly what we talked about 6 months ago. It takes him a moment to get up to speed.
No, he has great feet to be 6'3", 240. Don't forget, this guy ran a 4.5 at 240. Now, we done saw corners live – at the combine, run 4.6, 4.7. So at 6.3, 2.5, this guy run a 4.5, let alone he play in the SEC. And we like to call that the baby NFL.
Well, we saw what happened to DeMarco Murray when he got all those touches.
Talking about, we're not talking about
DeMarco. No, I'm saying that Derrick Henry got too many touches at Bama last year.
Yeah, he only started what? How many years he started at Bama?
I don't know. He got 300,000 touches last year.
Or 1 year. So – it's cool with the low because you're still splitting time.
I got you. All
with
right, that's
DeMarco
fair.
Murray.
So to round it out here, I have the Texans at 10-6. They get the 3 seed. Mm-hmm. I go Patriots 1-13-3. Okay. Steelers 12-4. MVP. Is that what I said, or was it 11-5?
11-5.
11-5, and that's important, Ike, because you were still wearing the black and gold when I first started this streak I'm on, and I want it celebrated. Do you know, Ike? 4 years in a row. I have said in the preseason
11-5.
No, I've said the Steelers record and gotten it right four straight years.
You said 11-5 this year.
I say 11-5. I called back to back 8-8 seasons. I
can see that.
I got it right, and so now I'm saying 11-5. I think the Bengals fall back a little bit. I think the Ravens are going to disappoint people.
See, I don't think the Bengals fall back. I think the Bengals are going to be exactly where they need to be until they play Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh just got their number. I don't care. Any other team? Cool. But when the Bengals play Pittsburgh, for some reason, it's like, you know what? Oh, you got an ace and a king. I know. Because that's just how it's always been, man.
Because 7 is greater than 14.
7 is greater than a lot of people. 7 don't get the amount of respect you need to get. Put some respect on 7-8.
At the 4 seed, I have the Chiefs, I have the Bengals getting a wild card, and I have the Raiders getting a wild card MVP. Is that how I had it?
Correct, yeah.
That's right. I have to check my set in stone numbers here. All right, last thing is we mentioned black tie is not long for the gig here at the NFL, and we're very sad. Let's listen back now to what episode was it when black tie first joined us here on the DDFP. Years and years ago now, Ike was still a player.
How long? Like, you've been here, what, 11 years, 10 years?
No, I've been here 7 years.
Selm?
7 years.
You know, we don't say seven, we say Selm. You've
Sam.
Been here 7 years.
Sam. Eight. Like, say Sam. Sam.
Selm.
Sam.
Sam.
Sam. It's Selm.
Sam.
Yeah, Selm.
Sam.
That boy been here 7 years.
Here is Black Tie MVP. This is the first ever time Black Tie spoke on the DDFP. Let's hear it. And now we welcome, but we don't know what to call him yet. It's our new pal, our new producer, TD. How are we?
Doing well, guys. How are you guys doing?
I'm well. Are you nervous?
Not at all. I'm actually, I don't know if I should be excited or threatened a little bit, because it almost feels like you guys, like you said, you guys just keep going through producers. So I'm I'm a little bit worried. Where are all the producers you guys have had? Where are they? Where are they now? That's
they've all passed away. Now they've all vanished under mysterious circumstances.
You don't hang your hat on the Dave Damashek football program.
Yeah. But you know what? If you come through on the other side, you know, still intact, you know, that put that on your resume, I think the doors will fly open for you. So
it's like that Kevin Spacey movie, Swimming with Sharks.
I've not seen that one.
What?
Oh, yeah. I heard. Yeah.
Oh, no, that's
heard,
a great one.
Is it? Yeah, I heard that.
Swim a Sharks, I think it is. But yeah.
So TD, first order of business. Like I say, we've tied everything to the necktie name. What could we call you, though? TD.
I don't know. I've been thinking about it. The thing is with me, with ties, if I have to go back, look back on my life, big things that I do when it comes to a tie, I always go with my graduation, mm-hmm. black tie. Mm-hmm. What else did I do? Prom, even maybe like in high school, black tie. So if black I have tie. To go with a tie, and I like think of myself, you know, as a gentleman, somewhat formal, uh-huh. you know, like I call you David, call him Rank, you know. So if I have to go with a tie, I would say black tie.
Black tie it is.
Black tie.
Black tie. I think we can like do that, it. Right?
That's good.
He's named himself. That's excellent. I love that.
And there it was, and it was interesting because we were prescient. I said this would lead to great things on your resume, and now it has. And Black Tie said, I don't know if I can keep up, and he was right about that. He couldn't keep up. But then no one else was willing to take the job, so he just basically held on to it.
That same guy got him up out of him, right?
That's right.
Got him up out of here.
There he was, Adam Rank. Yeah, you just heard his voice there.
That same guy got him up out of here. Get your butt up. Out of here. Shout out to Black Tie, man. Black Tie is moving on to bigger and better things.
One of the best things that with the Black Tie name was when players would come in here and we would introduce him. Hey, this is Black Tie. I remember specifically in the days right after the Patriots beat the Seahawks, LeGarrette Blount and Shane Vereen were in here. And Shane Vereen told LeGarrette, he said, you know, they call this guy Black Guy? That's inappropriate. I'm like, no, not Black Guy, Black Tie. We had that happen many times over, didn't we, Black?
That happened a ton. And one of the more fascinating things about that drop that we just played is that's the last time Sheck has ever called me TD. Ever since the Black Tie name came into play, he always called me Black Tie. We would be heading into meetings with execs in suits. I'd be like, Sheck, okay, this is not the place to say Black Tie. Because like most people.
You can't tell him that because he's going to do it anyway. You can't say, hey, Sheck, please don't do this. No, I'm going to do it. And here's why I'm going to do it. Like, Sheck does the opposite of what you say.
Tunde, lit with you. And we have one more clip here, real quick. A Black Tie, one of his other nicknames.
I've read this tweet that I'm about to read out on the podcast. I've read it a few times, and I don't think there's any way I can help it. But we're going to try, okay? I don't think I'm going to make it sound better. And I'm not going to tell you until afterwards who tweeted this. Young Kobe is the only Kobe I'm a fan of. Was also called that a lot in my younger playing days. Not sure it was always meant as a compliment, though. From Black Tie. What?
Not my Twitter
How
handle.
Are you
Twitter
young handle. Kobe.
Sorry, at producer TD.
There we go.
Can you explain?
Can I explain? Okay, yes, yeah. I was watching.
I predict he's going to try and turn this into I was just kidding. And I'm not going to allow that to happen.
I'm going to be honest. I was watching Dante Exum, who's an Aussie rookie who plays for the Utah Jazz, and he looks his mannerisms, body language again, very Kobe-like. So I was like, oh, that's a young Kobe move. And then I got into, you know, how I'm a known...
Up until now, your story's great. But then how did you manage to introduce yourself into the...
Because I am perceived by some as a Kobe hater, which I'm not. I'm just, I speak the truth about Kobe Bryant. Like Damashek, he's a bit of a creep, a bit overrated. So, but like there was a time I was a fan of Kobe Bryant, huge fan, when he was 18 and 19. And so I just wanted to shed some light on that.
I had the same thing. I also enjoyed him quite a bit.
Yeah, so I shed some light on that.
Were you compared to him a lot when you were playing?
No, that didn't happen.
However.
That never happened.
That happened to me all the time.
All the time? Who were your friends? Who were these people?
When I first moved over to the States, and I was 17, everywhere I would go to play, at least three or four places, it would always, you know, either we're picking teams, or go pick him up. That's young Kobe. Or even at school, like, oh, he stretches like Kobe and this. And I never tried to. I never intended to. But it always came up. And at that time, I was not a fan of Kobe, so I didn't like it. But
Why? Because of the way you dunk? Is that what it was? Is that what it was? That your style was so good?
I wasn't a dunker.
It's because of how, I think what you're saying, it's because of how you stretched before the game. That's why you were being compared to Kobe.
Someone literally called me out on that. Oh, yeah, he does the same stretches. Kobe does.
So it wasn't that you were a lockdown defender like Kobe was in his young days?
Some of the moves. You know, I was a scorer. I'm undersized two guard, so I guess that undersized isn't Kobe-like. But I was a scorer, though.
Well, listen, I don't know what we do going forward here, Handsome Hank. Do we bury the name Black Tie in favor of young Kobe or do we just work
Kobe
it in all
Kobe
the time?
Tie.
Kobe. Shaq. Mamba Tie.
Shaq, I beat Kobe.
You beat young Kobe. That's the greatest.
If there's young Kobe, I must be.
I know. I always hear you talking about, hey, I have these two Super Bowl rings. Shouldn't that be the second line on your resume? The top line should be, I beat young Kobe in one-on-one.
I beat Black Tie one-on-one. He's young Kobe. Call me young MJ.
I love that. 2 years later, that story makes no more sense. But apparently, according to Black Tie, three or four different places he would go. Same observation. Oh, he's exactly like young Kobe Bryant.
You know, Black Tie don't mind tooting his own horn.
No, he doesn't.
Definitely don't mind.
Say, kids out there, toot your own horn, and maybe somebody will fall for your nonsense, and you'll get to move up.
You got to tell stories every now and then. But it's crazy because today is actually Kobe's birthday. So,
hey, picture they doing August the 24th, a Kobe National Day for L.A.
824, just like his field goal percentage.
For the rest of his to the end of time, L.A. will salute Kobe. 824, National Kobe Day for L.A.
I love the amnesia. Raise. I love the amnesia of Lakers fans. Kobe Bryant, who's the ultimate Laker, maybe the greatest Laker of all time, requested to be traded away from the Lakers a couple of years. I mean, like 6 years ago.
Sometimes you got to push that button.
All right. Well, let's not make him into the ultimate guy in the franchise.
How many champions he got? How many Kobe?
What did he get? Five?
Five.
Ended up with five.
Yeah, he also got three of them because of Shaq. It's not like he was the star of that team.
Right. Okay. So you're saying he was the Robin?
Yeah.
So he became the Batman and got two more.
All right.
Okay.
Only one regular season MVP, though. But that's a different conversation.
He did what?
Only one regular season.
Is that right?
MVP.
I forgot that. I thought he had two.
I mean, Dan Marino is a Hall of Famer. He ain't winning shit.
Last thing, Ike's got stuff to do. I don't really have anything to do. But, yeah, I have stuff to do. But Black Tie, it's your last week. You know, you really rose to prominence when you started doing – Ike, I think this even predates Ike's arrival. Black Tie used to give shout-outs, but not to his friends or family or anything. No, he would give shout-outs to people who he felt deserved them out in the workforce because he thought his job was so – the way he couched it, if I'm not mistaken, was – I want to give shout-outs to other people who have terrible jobs. No, other people. Like, this was a terrible job to sit here and listen to us kibitz on.
Who don't get recognition for the hard work that they put in. Typically.
All right, young Kobe. Give us a shout-out real quick here.
It's time for Black Tie Shout-outs.
I like to give a shout-out to. Quick shout-out to. I just want to give a shout-out.
All right, guys, I haven't done this in a couple of years, but my shout-out this week goes to – you ever been to a massage place, masseuse, spa, you know?
I have been, yeah.
Whenever you go out there, IQ from athlete, yeah, you know. Yeah. You know it is, fellow former athlete. So you go into a massage place, and their whole job is to make this a relaxing, you know, time and period for you. This hour or two that you're there, if you're a 90-minute guy or a 60-minute guy, relaxation, zen-like moment, right? However, though, the people working there, they're still a job. So while they're trying to give you a stress-free time, relaxation time, because it's their jobs, they're actually stressed out. So you're trying to create an environment for people on a daily basis that you yourself do not experience because you're busy being stressed out, giving that to your customers. So
that's why I don't get massages. I've had one in my life.
That's a lie. I get them every week.
Do you really?
I don't mind stressing nobody out. I'm about to tip you good.
Well, but I feel bad for another, on a more fundamental human level. I feel bad about another human being rubbing me.
Shit, what I'm about
to – for money.
Well, let me put it to you.
I don't mind if a human wants to rub me, by the way.
Shit.
I don't want that to
– Shit, when I'm finna tip you, about to have you stress-free for at least a month. When I'm finna tip you.
See, I went for a massage this past weekend. I don't tip quite like Ike, but I felt.
No, I get it. I get exactly what you're saying. But that's just like with producers, man. Like working with y'all, man. Like when I came in, freshly newborn, didn't know what the heck I was doing, never went to school for broadcasting, only took a crash course over there in New Jersey. So I came in like knowing nothing and watching the Carlene, watching the Shaq, watching the Mark Istook, watching the Kaveh, watching the Zickis, watching the a TD, like watching the Emma, like watching y'all do behind the scenes dirty work made me like, I got to get on.
Oh, anybody could do this.
No, man. Oh. Like, I got to get on my stuff because anybody can't do this.
That's right.
This ain't made for everybody. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying. But just for me now being on the media side, I would say y'all like the most underrated from what I look at.
Oh, that's nice.
He's saying with the real MVPs. That's what he's saying. Not you, Shaq.
Well, I mean, I disagree with that point. I mean, I really carry the operation. But, you know, the thing about the massage that I don't – I did it once, like I say, and I felt obliged to talk the whole time to the person because I felt bad. Like, well, you have to rub me? Shouldn't I make conversation?
Oh, you shouldn't talk. You shouldn't. No. That's what they say.
Do what I tell them. I said, look here. Either one, I'm going to talk your ear off, or two, I'm going to fall asleep. And if I fall asleep and you hear some gas come out, I'm going to go ahead and excuse myself right now because it's a good massage you're doing. Thank you. Have a nice day.
It's kind of like yoga, right? If you actually pass gas doing those two procedures, that means that's a good thing. That's positive.
That's another thing. I don't want to have to deal with that with another human.
So you only had one massage in life, Shaq.
Yeah. I mean, I like the feeling of being rubbed, but I felt bad that I was paying somebody, a stranger, to do all that to my flesh.
You pay somebody to wash your car.
That's true.
No, I wash it. No, I'm in.
No, you don't.
All right. So we have one more show with Black Tie this week. Ike, that's it for you this week. A pleasure to see you. Great stuff.
Thank you.
And thanks to Bucky Brooks as well. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce later in the week for you. We'll break down at least half of the NFC. In the meantime, we only have one more Black Tie show to go. It's been a thin slice of heaven.